Blog Talk Radio.
Now we must take the
Come back into your home once again just to lift up the name of Jesus. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood reaching the world for Christ. So if you want to be a part of this service, well, call in on 310-742-1759. So you can call in and we'll put you right in here with us. So Brother John, just come on in there and obey the Lord.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come and just spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into your homes and to the places where you're listening. And we just appreciate each and every one of you. Tonight's message, we are speaking on hope, and tonight's message, the title is All Hope Taken Away. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 27, beginning with verse 9. I want to lay a little groundwork here. This is the Apostle Paul was being taken and being delivered unto Italy, to Rome. He had a mission. He had a mission of hope to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time that in Acts chapter 9 that he was on the road to Damascus. There was a time when he did not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time that he had had letters from the high priest in Jerusalem to incarcerate and to imprison and even kill those that had believed in the one by the name of Jesus. That one day there, a light brighter than the noonday sun caused him to fall back on the. He heard a voice but seeing no man. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he spoke to him, he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord answered him, he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of are the ways of death. We need to know tonight that we are going by the way of hope. And so as he was a chosen vessel to bring this gospel unto Caesar, to the Gentile world, he was a chosen vessel that would come, and he would show him greater and mighty things that he would suffer. And as they come and enter into a ship, they had to get on one ship, and then they had to enter into another ship. He had already been in prison, and he had appealed unto Caesar. The Bible says that there was much as they were, the wind began to blow when they were entering into the second ship. They found the ship of Alexandria, which is the city of Egypt there, verse 6. And then after they had sailed many days, the wind didn't allow them to, but they had to sail under Crete. They come to a place called the Fair Havens, there in verse 8. And so starting verse 9, says, Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, they had been on the sea for a long time. They had been sailing for a long time, but now because of the winds, because of the storms, because of the waves, sailing was now dangerous. It says, because the fast was now already passed. This was the Levitical fast, under the Levitical law, Leviticus 23 and 27, that they would fast on the 10th day of the 7th month. But this was now already passed, and the Bible says Paul admonished them. And in other words, Paul began to warn them. In verse 10, and he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Paul had received a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 speaks of that the gift, the Spirit, gives gifts. And these gifts, a part of these gifts is a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge.
Command.
That gift came to Paul. And the Bible says, in verse 11, it says, Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. A lot of times we will believe the world more than will believe the word of God. We find there in verse 12, it says, And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. That word there means that commodious means that it was unsuitable. The reason it was unsuitable because these were men that were lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But you need to know today that as the Word of God and the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you. The Bible says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for them that love God, to them who are the called according to Amen. His purpose. They had come to that haven there, that haven of hope. And there are many of you tonight that have come. That word haven means a harbor. That we come into a harbor and a place of rest. And God has brought it. It might not be a place, amen, that would appease your flesh. But this is a safe harbor. There's a safe harbor of hope tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. That many wanted to go a little bit farther than where they had come to. Some of you want to go a little bit farther than where God has brought you to. But the Bible says because the centurion believed, the owner of the ship and the Lord that wanted to go on to another place, and even though they had already obtained amen, safe harbor, and even though the man of God had spoken, they didn't believe the prophet. The Bible says, believe a prophet and receive a prophet's reward. But hallelujah, they didn't believe the reward. Amen. And the Bible says there in verse 13 that the south wind blew softly, supposing that they obtained their service, loosing his. They sailed close by Crete. They let loose from the harbor of hope, the haven of hope. Tonight, church, you need to not set sail again just because the winds have died down. You need to know that it might just be the eye of the storm, the eye of the hurricane, because on the backside of this wind is going to begin to blow again. Things are going to be contrary to you again. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says that when they come there that the winds were contrary. In other words, the winds that blew in the opposite direction. All the time, God was trying to direct them into this harbor of hope, this place of hope. You need to know tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to bring you to that harbor of hope, that place of hope, that place of expectation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 14, it says, but not long after. It wasn't long after they set sail again. It wasn't long after that they walked in disobedience. Amen. That there arose against it a tempestuous wind. That tempestuous wind is called an arachnidon. That's a hurricane wind that's coming out of the southwest. The Bible says in Job 37, verse 9, out of this whirlwind comes out of the south, and cold comes out of the north. This whirlwind and this hurricane-type wind came from the southwest, and the Bible says that when the ship was caught, you need to know tonight that, church, if you sail away from that harbor of hope, that place of hope where God has placed you, where God has sent you, it might be a time where hurricane-force winds will come, and you'll be caught in these winds, and you won't be able to bear up unto the wind, and they have to let this ship drive. They had to let it go on its own. You need to know tonight, if you get out of the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, your life might just be driven by every wind, everything that blows. And the Bible said they ran under a certain island there, verse 16, Claudia, and they had much work to come by the boat. But you know what? The works of men will avail to nothing. They had to use the help and the undergirding. They'd done everything they could. But without Jesus Christ, the Bible says in John chapter 15, without me you can do nothing. That they should fall into the quicksand. They were worried about falling in, so they let it be driven. And the Bible says, and being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, in other words, a great storm, the next day they landed the ship. You need to know, amen, they had to take some of the things off the ship and throw it overboard. Church, you need to know tonight that when the winds are tossing you about, and you're being tossed about this way and that way, sometimes you need to take some of the things off the ship that you're sailing in. Sometimes you need to take away that. The Bible says that they were tossed with a tempest. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning, amen, with verse 11. Says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, or in other words, the completion of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. It's God's will for us to come in the unity together in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ unto a perfect man, which means complete, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to come to his fullness. We need to come to the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ in order that we henceforth, in other words, no more from this moment, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Amen. They were tossed about with a tempest. And Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and said, look, you don't need to be tossed about with every wind of teaching by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. You need to know tonight that there are those out there waiting to deceive you, waiting to destroy you, waiting to take your life from you, but speaking the truth of love may grow up into him, who, Jesus Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. There's an edification that we don't get tossed about to and fro by the tempest, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. And the Bible says, going back there to Acts chapter 27, and the third day they cast out with their own hands the tackling of the ship. In other words, the things that were on the ship, they begin to cast out. They become throw things overboard. Church, there might be some things tonight in your life. There might be some things on board of your life that you need to cast overboard, cast into the sea, never to be remembered again. Hallelujah. We find, amen, there in verse 20, that when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. You know, that third day is a type and shadow of representation of the third day, that 3 days that Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth. But on that third day he arose. And the Bible said that not sun nor star in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. In other words, the winds continue to blow, the storms continue to beat. Still all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Everyone on that ship had their hope taken away. It was days and dark nights. The Bible says there, verse 21, says that after a long absence, in other words, without hope, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, I've got another message for you tonight. You should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, amen, that what was gained, amen, to Paul, he said, but what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless that I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul was telling them that no matter what you lose on this ship, don't lose your hope. Don't lose the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't lose. It doesn't matter about the ship. It doesn't matter about the tackling. It doesn't matter about the things that are on the ship. But just don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope of being able to be saved and be found in him, not having my own righteousness of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable to his death. It was time for them to meet that tape. And then going back there, the Bible says, verse 22, I've got a good message of hope for you tonight. Paul was a missionary of hope. Paul had a message of hope. He said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life. You shall be saved among you, but of the ship. He prophesied that they would not one man would lose their life. Jesus said that I have not lost one that thou hast given me, Father. Tonight, amen, you will not lose your life if you'll come into the hope of Jesus Christ. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation? The Bible says that the angel of the Lord in Psalm 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and love him. There is an encampment of a messenger of God right there by the Apostle Paul. Amen. And the angels of God spoke to him and who he was a servant of. In fact, the Bible says in chapter 28, I believe it is, verse 20 says, for this hope of Israel, I am bound with his chain. In other words, because Jesus Christ was his hope, he was bound. He was a prisoner, amen, but he was a prisoner of hope. Saying, fear not, Paul,
thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All those who are aboard this ship of hope, amen, will all give to the destination. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, here ending up, we must be cast into upon a certain island. In other words, he prophesied that they would be cast away on a certain island. They would be cast away because the ship would be broken up. The ship would be lost, but hope won't be lost. You might lose your ship. You might lose your home. You might lose your car. But tonight, church, never lose your hope, because the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ is within you and will stay with you, even in your darkest hours. All hope is not lost tonight, because on board tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you take him on board of your life? Will you let him sail with you tonight? Will you ask him to come into your heart? Will you confess your sins and ask him let him be the Lord of your life? Let him be the Lord of hope. We pray that there. Call into the host. Tell him. Encourage him. Amen. That we are reaching you. I just give the glory and honor to the Lord. I'm done, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good word right there. 423, come in here and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, man, it's Bill Perry, brother. Where am I? Sweetwater, Tennessee, and I just got in. I've been running. Just got in, knocked him again, and been run. But I thought I'd call in and say God bless you and appreciate you and enjoyed that testimony right there. And I like to hear good testimonies about my Lord. And we need to hold that bloodstained banner up and praise his holy name every time we get a chance. Talk to anybody about it. And normally I do, if I can. And I appreciate you, what you're doing here. And I know that there'll be people blessed by this that can't go to church and can listen in. So I just got in, and I'm going to get off, Brother Yearwood. So God bless you. And I may call you back in a little bit, but I'm going to get off right now. So we'll talk at you later.
Okay. God bless you, Brother Bobby.
God bless you. All right.
Call in.
Yeah.
So,
amen. So I'm going to get off, and we'll talk at you later. I may call back. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Want to let my foster daughter here say something or sing a song. I don't know which one she's going to do, but want to let her do something here for the Lord. So go ahead.
Set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of his hand for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. And glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of his hand for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. And glory to God, he set me free.
Amen. He set me free. You know, I tell you what, that's what the Lord's doing today. He's setting people free if they'll just let him. So I've got another one here. She's going to come around and say something. So just worship the Lord with her.
Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's so true, you know. A lot of times I have to stand on that scripture and realize that God will supply my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm going to go at this time, and I'm going to let have a station break here, and I'm going to let Ronnie Branham, the Branham singers, the Branham family, come in here and sing a song. So just worship the Lord with them. Now, their phone number, if you want to call them, is 770-262-4720. Now, they're real good singers, and they love to worship the Lord, and they will take a church apart by the power of the Holy Ghost if you'll only just call them and give them a chance. So right here they go. I'm going to let them sing.
Oh, Ananias, what kind of man Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Well, Ananias, oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. He spoke to the wind, the wind stood still. Tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, oh, Ananias, oh, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. When he spoke to the dead, and the dead did rise, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. He's a holy man, he's a holy man. Oh, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. He's a holy man,
he's a holy man.
He's a holy man. Tell me what kind of man Jesus is. The lame can walk,
the dumb can talk.
What kind of man Jesus is? The lame can walk,
the dumb can
talk. Oh, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Keep holding on,
keep holding on,
keep holding on. Oh, tell me what kind of man Jesus is.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. That's the Branham family, the new generation. So if you want to call them, now Brother Ronnie, he's also a minister. He's not only just a singer, he's a minister. He's a good one. So we enjoy being in service with him. So if you want them, just give them a call right at that number that I told you, and just worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Now, I've got a few verses here I want to read by God's help, and we're going to speak for just a few minutes, and we appreciate Brother John coming in there and obeying God, so we'll get him back on here in a few minutes and let him obey the Lord again, let him give his church announcements about the services they have and where it's at. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever thing was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we should through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You know, I tell you, this is something that we need to learn, you know. Praise God, you know, over there in the third chapter of St. John, Jesus told Nicodemus, I said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. In other words, before you can go into the kingdom of God. And, you know, I tell you what, Nicodemus asked a question. He said, how can I be born again when I am can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, no, a man that is born of the Spirit is spirit, and he that is born of flesh is flesh. And praise God, Nicodemus received that hope of that day, you know. Praise God, and that's what it is all about. We've got to have that hope in Jesus. And the only way that we're going to have that is to accept what he said. This is the learning that he had. And praise God, this is the learning that you and I need tonight. That know that we've got to be born again in the Spirit of God. We've got to have that hope in Christ Jesus. We can look here in First Corinthians 1 and 5. It says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. That's the Colossians I meant to say, 1 and 5. Praise God. This is the hope that we've got that's laid up for us. And we can hear this through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without we've got this hope, and without we learn of this, we'll not do nothing. We'll not make heaven our home. But praise God, we can make heaven our home. We've got this hope in Jesus Christ. Praise God. And here in the Titus 1 and 2, in hope of eternal life, which God has cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. A God that cannot lie. He promised us before the world began. I tell you what, he gave us a promise of eternal life. We've got that hope of eternal life in the Lord. I tell you, it's time that people get that hope. It's time that people realize that they're going to have to cry out to the Lord and really get serious, get the things laid aside that's so easy beset us. You know, the sin that's so easy beset us. We need to get the hope of God, the hope of glory down inside of us, that we can lay that stuff aside and we won't have no problems to serve the Lord. The devil's going to fight. He's going to try every way in the world to hinder. But praise God, we got the hope. We got the glory of Christ in our life. We can go somewhere. We can do something. Praise God. Romans 8 and 24 and 25, it says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man soul seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You know, praise God, we've got this hope in him. And the 25th verse there, it says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, praise God. We got the patience. We got the hope of God in our life, my friends, and we can make heaven our home. But we're first going to have to go and do what God's word says. We're first going to have to take a hold and have the word of God down in our life that we can hope, praise God, that we are saved through hope. You know, praise God, we've got the hope of God down in our life, and we're saved through the hope according to the word of God. And that's what it's all about. My friend, is being a hope and having a faith of hope and having God in our life. In Proverbs 14 and 32, it says this, the weak is driven away in his weakness, but the righteous have hope in his death. Praise God. You know, somebody that is righteous, they've got the hope, hallelujah, that one day after a while, they're going to walk down the streets of gold. They're going to shout down the victory of streets. They're going to live in a mansion that God said, Jesus said, I go, I repair a place for you, and I will come again, and I will receive you. Into myself, where I am, you may be also. We've got that hope. If you've been born again, are washed in the blood of Jesus, that one day after a while, my friend, whenever this life is over with here, we've got the hope of God, the hope of glory, that we're going to see him and we're going to hear him say, come on in, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I tell you what, if you don't have that hope, you don't have that glory, then you need to get the hope of glory down in your life. You need to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. And then, my friend, you're saved by hope. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm sure thankful tonight that I have the hope down in my life that one day after a while, I'm going to walk on the streets of gold. I'm going to live in a mansion. Jesus said, if it was not so, I would have told you. He said, he's going to prepare a place for us and where he's at that we can be also. And he tells us that he's gone. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He's going to prepare a mansion, my friend, for you one day after a while and for me one day after a while. If we've got the hope of God down in our life, hallelujah, praise God. We can look here in the Proverbs 13 and 12. It says, hope divert made the heart sick, but with the when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whenever it comes, it'll be a tree of life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad of that, ain't you? Praise God. Zechariah 9 and 12, it says, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope, even to day do I declare that I will render double unto thee. You know, praise God, he's wanting us to render double unto thee. You know, I pray God we need to have that hope that we surrender everything pray God into the Lord and say, yes, Lord, here I am. Praise God. Except we do that, we'll not make heaven our home. There's too many today are trying everything under the sun to get by. They're trying to live any way and every way, but they've got to have the hope, hallelujah, in order to be saved. In Romans 4 and 18, it says, who again hope because believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall they see thy seed. Praise Lord be. You know, Abraham over there, praise God, he had the hopes that he would be the father of many nations because God told him that he would. And, you know, he become to be the father of many nations. And he's done that through hope. And my friend, you and I today, praise God, have got the same kind of hope. That one day after a while, that you and I are going to be saved, and one day after a while, we'll be able to walk down the streets of gold. I'll praise God. Romans 5 and 5, it says, and hope make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I tell you what, it's shed abroad through the Holy Ghost. We've got that hope. through him, through the Holy Ghost. My friend, tonight, I pray that you will receive this hope, receive something that God has got for you. God has got a message for you tonight. If you will only take what thus saith God and live according to what he says and have this hope, I'll praise God. I tell you, this hope, it means a lot, and we've got to have it in order to walk uprightly before God. Hebrews 6 and 19, it says, which hope we have as an anchored of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that wherein within the veil. You know, I tell you, praise God, hallelujah. Acts 24 and 15, it says, and have hope for God, which they themselves also allowed that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Hallelujah. You know, there's going to be a resurrection one day after a while. Praise God. The hope of the unjust and on the just. I tell you what, my friend, we need to have the great perfection. We need to know, praise God, that we've got the hope of God, that one day after a while, we're going to be raised and we're going to hear him say, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rulers over many things. Praise God. That's the hope that we've got. Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs 11 and 7, it says, when with a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust man perishes. You know, the unjust man, praise God, it said that he would perish. My friend, the unjust man, whenever he perishes, that means he's going to burn in hell throughout eternity. There'll not be no hopes for him. But I tell you what, praise God, we can have that righteous in our hearts and in our life that one day after a while that we're going to walk down the streets of gold and we can be saved. And we won't have to worry about perishing because God will take care of us. There in Romans 12 and 12, it says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. Praise God, hallelujah. He's telling us to be instant in prayer. You know, praise God, we need that hope of that one day after a while that we will be able to walk in the prayers of God's will. You know, he said, over there in one passage of scripture, he said for us to pray without ceasing. And people says, oh, I can't do it. My friend, we can pray without ceasing. If you've been born again, you can have a prayer on your heart. You can have a prayer in your mind that when the devil starts trying to rise up against you, all we've got to do is resist him. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Praise God, we've got that hope that when we call upon God, he's going to hear, he's going to answer, and he's going to deliver us from all the trials and all the things that will come our way. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reasonable of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, praise God, hallelujah. You know, he said for us to be ready. In other words, be anxious to give a reasonable answer for a reasonable question. You know, whenever a lot of times these people will try to ask you some kind of a foolish question. We don't need to fool with nothing like that, but we need to give a reasonable answer for a reasonable question. And the meekness and the hope, I'll praise God. I thank God tonight that we've got that hope of glory, that we can give somebody the answer. You know, when they start asking you a reasonable a question, we can give them that answer of the hope that we have in us. My friend, I tell you what, if you can't, then you need to get down on your knees, Summers, and cry out to God. Ask him about touching your life, that you'll be able to give somebody a reasonable answer, a reasonable question. Tell them the ways of salvation. I tell you, it's something to think about tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:38-39, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angel nor principality nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, I'm so thankful tonight that I know beyond every shadow of a doubt that it don't matter what comes our way, there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. If we'll just only hang in there and hold on, I praise God by the power of the Holy Ghost, there ain't nothing can separate us. I thank God for that. And I want us to look into 1 Peter 1:3. It said, blessed be the God of, and God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant grace may have, because us again, let me start over on that. Praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you what, I thank God tonight that we got that hope in the Lord. And right here in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are troubled on every side, yea, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God for that, and I thank God for the word that we've heard here tonight and the word that we've read here, and I just praise God for this, and I praise God for Brother John calling in. I want him to come back in and obey the Lord and tell us his church announcements and everything, and I want him to pray for the needs tonight before we go off the air. Brother John?
Brother Roy, I appreciate it. You know, as you were there in First Peter, you know, our church is in Thomaston, Georgia, 70 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. We have services on Sunday morning at 10, Sunday school, regular service at 11, Sunday night service at 6, and then we have a midweek service on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We'd like for anyone that's in the area to come and be with us, part of the living area, come, and you're more than welcome. And used to be with us and part of the family, and we just appreciate the opportunity to speak the word. You know, I was talking about, we've been talking about hope tonight and hoping to the end. You know, Peter wrote to the different strangers, and they were actually pilgrims. They were believers that were in different parts of the earth there. And he was talking about there in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he talking about in verse 6, he said, "Wherefore in you greatly rejoice, rejoice though now for a season, if need be, your unhappiness through manifold temptations." In other words, your unhappiness because of the many trials that you're going through. But you need to know tonight that there's a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, according to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61. He says, "That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire." You need to know that gold perishes when it gets in the fire, but your faith will not tonight. But be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy and speak and full of glory. Tonight, church, it's time for us to just rejoice with the joy of the Lord and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So, of which the salvation of the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. The prophets searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. You need to know tonight that there's unmerited favor that should come to you by the prophets as they begin to search diligently and begin to prophesy unto you of that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and that the glory should follow. We need to know tonight that even though there might be suffering, even though you're going through suffering right now, there's a glory that should follow. Bible says our afflictions are but for a moment, our light affliction, but not to be compared to the glory of God that follows. Jesus Christ is that glory, and we beheld his glory as other than the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels of heaven desire to look into the things that have been delivered unto you tonight, the hope that's been delivered unto you tonight. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober to the hope, to the end, for the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a hope that's brought to you to the end. Hold on to the end. As obedient children, not fasten yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Every time you talk, every time you walk, let it be holy. Let it, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We want to pray for the needs tonight. God has called a holy people. God has called a people to be separate. He said, "Come ye out, be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself." Tonight, Jesus Christ is that hope that we come in, and we want to go into that harbor and haven of hope. And that those different scriptures and words that Brother Lloyd gave. Your armor tonight, you have an armor of God. You've got a whole word, an arsenal tonight that's been given to you. So one of that is that prayer. The Bible says hope deferred, it makes the heart sick, but when it comes, it says the tree of life, as Brother Lloyd brought out. The Bible says there is hope of a tree that through the scent of water, some of you, have you caught the scent of hope tonight? Maybe you've been cut down. Maybe you've been cut down by loved ones, by friends, by family, by those around you. Their soul will be free, that it will live again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, you speak to me to the great. Yes, go ahead.
We just got an email there. A brother is in Cleveland, Tennessee. His name is Bill Sexton. He's had 4 bypasses, and he requested that we would pray for him tonight. So when you pray, pray for him.
All right. Let's go ahead and pray for that need right now. Father, you see this brother in Tennessee, in Cleveland, Tennessee. And Father, you see all across the land, Lord, these ones that are having heart bypasses and stents, and Father, with heart troubles and heart failure in the name of Jesus. And Father, you know the heart. You're the heart of the church. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would reach down and touch. Lord, even as this is during, that you would just say in a word, Father, that Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would go and Lord, raise up those that are sick and afflicted. Raise those up that, Lord, that are nigh to death. Lord, that we say, live and they shall not die. Father, we ask, Lord, right now that, Lord, even as by prayer, that we're laying on hands in the sick and they shall recover. That, Lord, we're taking up authority over the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, these cities, these states, these countries, that God, that they would receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, that you would meet every need tonight. That God, that you would be lifted up. That Father, that you would make everyone whole. That Father, that reach out. That your word would not return unto you void, but it would prosper in that which is accomplished. Father, that you would meet the needs. And God, that it would be wholeness and completeness in you. That Lord, you are our hope tonight. And that we would look unto thee and not turn to the right nor turn to the left. But we would look unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we give you the glory and honor for tonight's program, that God, that your word will go forth, and Lord, there will be many saved and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, be healed and be set free by the power of God. And Lord, we give this glory to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Brother John, tell them the location, the church, and everything there.
Okay. We're at 114 East Main in Thomaston, Georgia. Again, like I said, it's about 70 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia, and right here on Main Street in Thomaston, Georgia. And so it's just a little ways off the courthouse square. So we're right downtown, and God has blessed this city. Amen. In fact, there was another church that just started here in the town. So we just praise the Lord that churches are being, you know, being created, being built, and people are coming in, and amen. And we just give glory to the Lord that these were once, many of them were vacant buildings, but now they're housing places of worship and being lifted up, and the word of God is going forward. We're seeing the blinded eyes open, the deaf ears open. We're just seeing miracles and healings and wholeness. And the dead being raised, we were just like, you know, John was at that point. He said, "Art thou the Christ, or should we look for another?" But tonight, we don't have to look for any other. Christ is our hope tonight, brother Lord. And we just appreciate the opportunity to be able to minister and be with you. And like I said, we invite anybody to come to our church, and we thank you that you're allowing us to come into your homes, into your basements, into your wherever you're at tonight, in your palaces, in the king's palaces. So we just praise the Lord for that opportunity tonight.
Amen. Well, I tell you, brother John, I sure do. Appreciate you calling in and being on here with us and helping us. And our time is up. So we got about 35 seconds left. So I'll just say good night to you and God bless you. And I'll be talking to you later on there.
God bless you.